really nice to see the church full so early. I don't know if it's because of the extra hour of sleep or just the excitement to be here early. When we look at this story, we see that our Lord is walking to a city called Nain, and there is a funeral procession. There's a funeral procession out there. And then there's kind of this situation, it's kind of like a paradox that happens, where there are people mourning, people who are crying, especially a widow, right, who lost her husband and now lost her only son. And then you see on the other side coming is Christ and his followers, Christ and his disciples. And there's this, when you kind of look at this picture and you kind of zoom out, you look at the people who are coming down in this funeral procession, sad, broken, the widow feeling hopeless, thinking about maybe what is going to happen to her, right? Like in the old days, the man was the one who took care of everything. So she lost her husband, and her hope was in her son. And when she lost her son, imagine how she felt. And then you look at the other side, and you see Christ, and he's going from place to place, doing many miracles, sharing beautiful words, life-changing words. The people are with him are happy, and the people are with him are excited about the Messiah. And then this moment happens where they meet. Where they meet. And this is a very important moment, not only obviously for this story, but in our own lives. That many, many times we are going through struggles, different issues, whether at home, at work, with our families, sicknesses, all types of struggles. And then we see Christ, or we come to church and we hear the gospel and we hear this, and something doesn't click. I'm going through all these struggles, but people who are following God are not. But of course, that's not true. It's our perception of it. We look at this story and we see two different sides. But what we see here, there's a miracle that happens before the raising of the dead. It's funny, when you read the Gospels and you see all these miracles, the raising of the dead, we say it and we just move on. Like, oh yeah, Jesus raised somebody from the dead. And then we're like, oh, okay, we've normalized it. But something beautiful that we see here is that the miracle before the miracle is that Christ sees the brokenness and approaches. He sees it, he feels it, and he acts. He sees this woman. He sees her struggle. Did she go after him? Like, we hear stories where people went to Christ for different things. This wasn't the case. We hear stories about somebody advocating on behalf of someone. This wasn't the case. There was somebody who was broken, struggling, and Christ went to her. Christ went to her. He saw her pain and acted on it. We're called to do the same thing. We're called to do the same thing. We're called to see. We're called to look and see the pain and struggles that people have. Now, we might not be able to know exactly or be in the right place at the right time, but many times we are. Many times there are people around us, whether in our inner circle, in our families, in our group of friends, in our communities, in wherever, that are struggling for different reasons. It could be a health situation, it could be a loneliness situation, it could be a financial situation, it could be whatever. It's our responsibility to see it. The first thing is to see it. Our Lord went and saw this woman. And we talked about this before. He didn't just go and say, I'm sorry you're going through this. No, Rabbina Aziki, you know, like, and then move on. That's important. That would be nice. If that happened, that would have been a nice story too. But our Lord teaches us here, He went and He stood by her and He saw her, and the gospel says He had compassion on her. And I want us to kind of go deeper in this word compassion. The word compassion here is not somebody who sees somebody and has sympathy. Sometimes we say, oh, He had compassion. It's like this nice, sweet thing. Compassion, the Greek term that is used, is that it was as if He reached a level of pain, this level of empathy, that there was like, He saw her and he was broken for her. And so this idea that we look and we find and we see is very important, and that we have compassion. St. John Chrysostom says he did not wait to be entreated, for His mercy is His nature. Sometimes we feel, if we are the ones who are broken, if we are the widow in the story, we feel like, where is Christ? I'm doing this. I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, where is Christ? Where is He? I don't feel Him, I don't see Him. But He's there. He's there, He's standing by us. But we might want something differently than what He's offering. And so in this case, the widow's not asking for anything. She's crying, she's upset, she's in mourning, and Christ went to her. When He went to her, what did He say? Did He say, don't worry, everything's going to be okay? He says, when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Imagine this woman who lost her husband and lost her child, and then Christ going up to her and says, don't cry. This woman must have thought, what are you talking about? I'm going through all of this, and you're telling me not to cry? But He says, He had compassion on her. He says, do not weep. And then He touched the coffin. This touch is the whole thing. Christ touched the coffin. And this is when life touches death. Our Lord, the way, the truth, and the life, He touched something, the coffin, which is death. There is no hope. When somebody dies, there is no hope. Especially back then. And so He touches the coffin and completely transforms it. Completely transforms the situation. He resurrects this boy. But besides the resurrection part, I know it's funny to say besides the resurrection part, but it's the idea of He gives life to a place where there is only death, where there's only brokenness. Sometimes we feel in our life that there is only brokenness. There is nothing good in my life. There is nothing. Everything is bad. And we've all gone through it, or we're going through it. And everything is just piling on. But when we meet Christ and we allow Him to touch us, to be with us, to connect to us, there is life there. There is a transformation there. St. Cyril says something beautiful. He says, when Christ met the funeral, He destroyed death by itself by the touch of His holy hand, for He is the life and the resurrection. He touches the casket and everything changes. In our life, when we are touched by God, when we are united by God, when we are connected to our Lord, everything changes. Do the problems go away? Not necessarily. Actually, many times they don't. But our perspective of the problem changes. The way we look at the problem changes. The problem is not going to necessarily go away. Can it go away? Sure. In this case, it went away. But was it, did this, what happened to this widow later on? She ended up passing away. Her son grew up, passed away. Like this wasn't a permanent decision. But for the moment, Christ is teaching us that everything in our life can be transformed by God. Think about this concept of touching the dead. In the Jewish tradition or Jewish law, anybody who touches something unclean, someone who died, someone who touches a casket or something, someone who died or a leper or anything unclean, certain foods are considered unclean. They're considered unclean. But what does Christ do? At that moment, the opposite happens. The situation becomes clean. Instead of the person becoming unclean, Christ transforms it and the situation becomes clean. And that's what happens with us. When we go to God and we are struggling and we are going through something and God touches us, God comes to us, God heals us, God transforms us, the situation changes. It becomes different. It becomes different. And our perspective of the situation also becomes different. The question is, do we allow God to come enter into our heart and to change what, to change and to really fix what is going on in our life? Many times, we keep the coffin closed. Like what's dead inside, we keep it closed. We hide it. And this is why the church gives us the concept of confession. Why confession? Why repentance? It means to open up that coffin inside of us, that the parts that are dead inside of us. You know the term, you know, how many times do we feel this and we say this? Abuna, I feel spiritually dead. I feel numb. I feel cold. I feel whatever. But that's because we keep the door closed. We keep the coffin closed. If we allow God to enter, if we truly expose what's inside to Him, we put a light to our dark insides, that's when it gets transformed. We all have so many sins in our life. So many sins in our life. But the sins, are we willing to expose them to God? Are we willing to say, God, I need help with this sin? This sin, I struggle with the sin of lying, with the sin of bad language, with the sin of hate, with the sin of pride, with sexual sins. Do I sit in front of God and say, I'm struggling with these sins? And if I do, do I take the proper steps? Do I want to change my way? Do I go and confess? Or do I keep the casket closed and then I'm upset that nothing happened? If the widow and this group of people are walking and Christ says, do not weep, and goes to touch the casket, and then the woman says, no, 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 no. Don't touch anything. You'll be unclean. Get away. The casket, we're closing it. Leave us alone. Does this boy live? Of course not. Sometimes we're the reason why we sit in darkness. We're the reason why there's no real transformation that happens in our life. Our Lord went to the young man and says, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. This concept of arising is that repentance, is the transformation. He was dead and now he's alive. We see this throughout the scriptures. He was once dead and now he's alive. He was once lost and now he's found. Our Lord himself died, and on the third day, resurrected. This transformation happens all the time if we allow Him. If we allow Him. The last thing is after He restores, after Christ restores us, what happens then? It says, then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited His people. And this report about Him went throughout all Judea and surrounding regions. When there is healing in our life, when there's transformation in our life, when I experience a miracle in my life, it's important for us to share it. Now, I'm not talking about your most personal and private things in your life, or if something extraordinary happens, you know, go on social media and post about it. Or I'm not saying that. I'm saying if we are able to be transformed by our Lord, we should talk to people and help them know that this is possible, that our Lord can transform us, that there is a healing presence, there is a life-giving presence that could change your life. If we have the cure for something, if I was sick and I received the cure, and now I feel better, and I know bunch of people who have the same sickness, and I have this medicine, I have this cure. How would you feel about me not giving that medicine? What would you say? What's wrong with Abuna? Why is he being greedy? We received this cure. Every time we repent and confess, every time we feel transformation, every time we experience our Lord, we receive this cure. We are made new in Christ. Do we go and tell people? Do we share this news of, hey, I know where to find healing? St. Evagrius says something beautiful about Christianity. He says, Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's all it is. I was starving and I ate and now I'm better. Christianity is now saying, hey, are you hungry? There's food right here. There's food right here. And so this miracle is not just about the resurrection of this boy. It's about our resurrection in our life, going from darkness to light, allowing God to enter into our life, the deepest, darkest sins in our life that we don't want to even think about. Forget sharing. We don't even want... We ignore it ourselves. We lock the door ourselves. That we break down that door and we say, God, come, enter into this room, fix it, change it, and give me a new life. And if we do that, then we have to share this with others so we can help others get through this. And we work together for the transformation of our life. And glory be to God forever. Amen.